Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we are wrapping up the Indiana Jones film series.
The tetralogy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's a quadrilogy, but that's not a real thing.
Whoa.
It's a tetralogy, I think, maybe, probably. I'm not 100% sure, but I started the sentence and I'm going to finish it now. I'm finishing it now. Four movies, tetralogy.
I admire your confidence.
Thanks.
You feeling confident enough to allow everybody to leave a like on this video?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Mason.
Yes.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yes.
Finally, we got here. The good one, finally. took
You're going to continue this joke for the whole video?
I think I stopped at last video.
I think you might have, yeah.
Yeah. So, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of Indiana Jones before this, like leading up to it.
Did we?
I mean, after 89.
Oh.
So there were lots of books, there were a few comics, there were a whole lot of pretty solid video games.
Mm, there was some edutainment, as we know.
Well, that's the thing, because Harrison Ford actually reprised his role as Indiana Jones in the young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Did he?
Yeah, he's got a beard because he was filming The Fugitive at the time.
Oh, right. Because there's definitely, if I recall, there's definitely another actor who plays a very old Indiana Jones with an eye patch.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah.
There's like a little kid and then there's like Sean Patrick Flannery age and there might be some others in there as well.
An actor of Sean Patrick Flannery age?
That's right.
Did they get Sean Patrick Flannery or did they just want somebody?
He wasn't available.
Imagine you're Sean Patrick Flannery and the audition sheet comes out and they're like, we want somebody of Sean Patrick Flannery age.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm Sean Patrick Flannery age. No.
Not quite.
Not quite, though.
Not what we're looking for. Mm. Here's the thing about this one as well.
Go on.
It just feels late. I feel like they missed a trick making one in the mid-90s to make it feel like the old ones. Because it doesn't feel like any of the ones.
Well, then how
prior.
Do you feel? Do you feel like the upcoming Dial of Destiny is too late? Too 2000 and late?
Well, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, right.
But it's probably too
late.
You
think it's past its prime? Okay.
I mean, again, I haven't seen it.
Okay, let me ask you this about this movie particularly.
Yeah.
Having just rewatched it, presumably recently, what do you think about it now? What did you think about it then when it came out?
It came out and I thought it was okay. I think it dips wildly at a point, which we'll talk about. And then
we might have the exact same time code.
That's right. And then I spent a long time like really not liking it. And watching it again, I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah, look, I remember intensely disliking it when it came out. I haven't seen it since. I didn't see it again at the cinemas. Why would I?
Yeah.
Didn't see it on any kind of home media. Didn't watch it on VHS.
Yep.
So this is my first rewatch. And I think a lot of it is pretty good. See, you know what I think is maybe tricking some people?
Yeah.
The movie has moved to the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody seems a little bit more colourful. It's less of a grubby universe, I think.
Yeah.
And I think people are like, this has an unreality to it.
I don't think the unreality is a result of the era, because I don't hate the concept of this.
Oh, no, there's two unrealities to this. One is that, the moving the era to the 50s, and the other one is the incredibly shonky CGI.
Sure.
But we'll get to that, I'm sure, later.
Absolutely. But where do you set a movie when Harrison Ford is in his 60s?
That's true.
You have to set it in this era. Mm. Like, I don't hate the idea of aliens and Kate Winslet and... Not Kate Winslet, what the fuck's her name? The name.
Mm.
Kate, she's a strat. Blanchett, there we go.
Yeah, right.
And Kate Blanchett heading up a bunch of Russians. It's fine as a concept. In the young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, here we go.
He met Dracula.
Yes.
He can meet some aliens.
And what, he learned about blood types or something? Like,
no, they killed him.
Oh, good. All right. Well, you're right. So, you know, Indiana Jones is meant to be a pulp adventure hero.
Mm.
And in the era of the original movies, he would have been exploring ancient ruins and meeting supernatural creatures and or having supernatural experiences and so forth.
Yeah.
And in the 1950s, people started getting obsessed with little green men and UFOs and mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. And if his character had continued in pulp novels or radio plays or whatever they were doing at the time or movie serials, he would have been searching for that sort of thing. It's like the character of Rick Dangerous, James.
Oh, yeah.
From the computer game series Rick Dangerous, where originally...
The game's Rick Dangerous, James.
That's exactly
right. Never played this.
Well, Rick Dangerous, James, originally was an Indiana Jones-style hero, a rip-off, you might say. And then in 1990, in Rick Dangerous 2, he became more of a Flash Gordon-style hero.
Huh.
And then this movie came out a mere 18 years later. Coincidence? I think not.
It sounds like a coincidence. Mm.
But you're right. I'm not mad about the turn to aliens. I am a little bit mad that they were like, the vernacular had to change. They're like, no, they're actually interdimensional beings. You know what it is? I've just thought it. You know what it is?
Yeah.
There's too much explanation.
Okay, sure, yeah. There is a lot of, like, looking at a thing and being like, what's this about and what does this mean? Is this Mayan? Is this interdimensional? Who's this guy? What does he know?
But the thing is, if we can jump to the end just briefly and then go back, there's too much explanation as to what was happening.
Okay.
Like, John Hurt, who is a nice addition to this franchise, I think, is just like, it's definitely interdimensional beings. Is it? Give me a little bit of ambiguity there.
Well, the reason that happened is because Lucas for years was like, I want to do aliens. And Spielberg was like, I don't want to do another alien movie. I've made a couple alien movies already. It's not interesting to me.
Uh-huh.
So Lucas said, well, let's do interdimensional beings. And Spielberg literally went, whatever.
Okay, sure.
And that's how we got here.
As long as we do not use the word aliens and someone says, yes, that is what this is.
Why not do aliens, though? Yeah, I feel like you're right. There's too many levels of complexity.
And nobody would say that in the 50s. Interdimensional beings, probably. But anyway, John Hurt, it was nice to see him.
Yep.
Ray Winston and Jim Broadbent are also in this and are great. But I think two people that were missing, and we see them on little...
Yeah.
We see them on Indy's desk in little production stills that have been turned into family photographs. We don't have Marcus Broding. We don't have Henry Jones Sr.
Yeah, one passed away and Sean Connery was like, I'm very retired. Thanks, Alex G.
Mm.
And that's why he didn't want to reappear in this one.
But I think it was... And it's nice to have...
Karen Allen?
It's nice to have Karen Allen.
Yeah.
But... The fact that everybody else is new, kind of, there feels like a disconnect there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I don't disagree with that.
I didn't hate Shia LaBeouf in this.
I don't like him.
Initially, I did because he shows up in the full Marlon Brando with the weird, you know, the hat they had.
I know.
And the thing about that is,
it's sad. It feels sad.
Yeah.
Because you know how they borrowed Indiana Jones's look.
Yeah.
They're like, well, let's take an iconic, like a different iconic movie star look, and just slap it on this fucking idiot.
Yeah. The thing is, James. Obviously, they're like, okay, well. You want him to be the most iconic version of that from that era, and that is Marlon Brando. But the thing about that look is, no one, including Marlon Brando, can actually pull off that hat. You see that movie? It's embarrassing, that hat. No one looks good in that hat. But then he loses the hat fairly quickly,
yeah,
and I'm like,
point,
okay.
Yeah, leather jacket and a knife is fine.
He looks like he looks like he is in a Marlon Brando cosplay.
Yeah.
Furry cosplay. No, that's okay. I can't back that up. But then I'm like, okay, I'm settling into this character. I don't mind this. I liked his back and forth between Indy and Mutt. I quite enjoyed it for the most part. I believed it.
Yeah, I think probably like my real world dislike for Shia LaBeouf is definitely creeping into this.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think in terms of additions, if you compare him to any of the previous companions. Literally any of them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He doesn't stack up.
Right, okay.
And that, like, the fake kind of the faux toughness that he's doing, I don't feel it. It's very much that concept of like, this is the it guy. You all love this guy.
Because at this point he'd done a few things. He'd done
Transformers,
the first one. He'd done Constantine.
Yeah.
Other things that we would recognize.
Holes. I think they should have given it to like maybe Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, perfect. That would have been great. But yeah, you're right. He'd done a few roles. He was a big box office draw, seemingly.
Mm.
And they were like, well, we can't miss out on this guy. We've got to get him in. We've got to put him in that stupid hat.
Absolutely. Here's the thing about Harrison Ford in this.
Mm-hmm.
He does kind of feel like listless for some of it. Just kind of like, all right, well, I've done a lot of this, but I think I can go along with whatever's happening here. And I'll say this of The Force Awakens.
Okay.
That's right. I'm going to compliment The Force Awakens.
For SEO, can you say something about The Last Jedi as well?
Sure.
Okay, great.
He's not in that movie. There you go.
That's true.
That
controversial.
There's an energy that Harrison Ford has in The Force Awakens, which I don't feel is here.
Right, yeah.
But that being said, I think he looks good.
Mm.
Like, he looks strong. I remember him looking a lot older.
Yeah, right.
Than, like, seeing it now, I'm like, oh, he looks terrific.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly, like, he's kept up with it. There's a moment at the start where you just see him, like, climbing some boxes, and he's just moving really well.
You'll believe a man can climb some boxes.
But a guy that age moving like that, that's unusual. There's a moment where he's just in a white T-shirt. Yeah. He looks fucking incredible.
He looks incredible.
Yeah.
And he's facing off against, you know, some of the most intense actors from network television at the time. The janitor from Scrubs.
Yep, absolutely.
Who I love. Some other guys.
The guy from the OC, Alan Dale.
That's right. Australia's own Alan Dale is in that room.
Neighbour's own Alan Dale.
That's true.
I also feel like there's an in-canon reason for why Indiana Jones is still like this.
Roids.
No, I'll talk about it later. Here's the thing I do like about this. Mm-hmm. I think the opening action sequence, I know, like, nobody likes the ferrets and whatever. I agree. I know they're not ferrets. It doesn't matter. Let's just all move past it.
Move past the ferrets, folks.
The bit where he's taking on all the Russians and he's just tearing through them. And Mac is the only one in that warehouse that is just like, this is a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You need to back up from this guy. He's going to kill all of us.
Yeah. You can see the rage rising in him, and he's going to snap. He's going to do one of his signature big punches.
That's right.
And you are all in a lot of trouble. He's going to punch 3 to 4 of you at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he comes out of the trunk of the car.
Mm.
You know what's interesting about that sequence, and I hadn't thought about it. Right at the start, there's the moment where the teens go past in their car.
Yeah.
And you think something is going to happen. Like, you think the teens are going to be Russian operatives or something, and they're gonna crash into the army vehicle and they're gonna attack whatever. Yeah, just leave.
It's just
what's their adventure going on? Was that Archie in the gang?
It's just a nod to
they headed to Riverdale.
Yeah, they're heading to Riverdale.
Wow,
I think it's just a
for a sock hop and a malt shop.
Probably,
I thought so.
I think it's just a nod to, like, George Lucas's love of, you know, that era.
It was the American Graffiti kids.
Exactly.
They were going to do some American graffiti.
Absolutely. I also love that the American government.
Hamburger, it would say.
That's right.
Apple pie.
Big glowing neon sign that
says Marlon Brando's stupid hat.
Malt shop.
Mm.
Yeah. I also believe that the US government would just put an alien in a box and forget about it.
Yeah.
And just, where is it? Somewhere it is.
Yeah.
Should we check in on it? That's probably all right.
Probably fine. Who's going
to
go there?
Put it next to the box that's got God in it. I love that. I think that's great.
What if the alien and God have a conversation? They want to get out of here. Well, we locked the boxes, so. Yeah. And we put some other boxes on top of those boxes, so.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not getting out.
Speaking of boxes, the fridge moment.
Yeah.
Now, I know that this has become like a thing. It's the, you know, the nuke the fridge. It's the jumping the shark of this particular franchise, right?
That was an era for jumping the shark as well.
This idea came from an early Back to the Future script where the original idea for time travel was a fridge and a nuclear explosion.
Oh, I see.
And the thing about this is, I know it's unrealistic.
Uh-huh.
I don't care.
I didn't care this
time
either.
I don't know, yeah. I think, do you remember in, like, Temple of Doom, they drop out of a plane in a boat?
Mm-hmm.
They do silly things all the time. And I love the reveal, like, the silhouette of Indiana Jones with the nuclear explosion, like, kind of ushering in this new era.
Oh, my God.
I love that. I
and
think
he said,
it's great.
This is ushering in a new era.
Is it good? Well, it's been better, but this is definitely a new era.
Well, that can really do more than one old man with a whip. I feel a little bit past my use-by date, honestly. You know what he should have done? Jumped in the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, absolutely.
He should have taken a nuclear-powered journey with God, and they could have had a chat.
I also think the motorcycle chase through the uni is a little bit of fun.
That's a bit of fun.
I like that he's still teaching kind of on the fly. I wonder whether all of his students, this is the first time they've seen him do anything like this.
Yeah, right.
So they're just like, what is this? You know, imagine seeing like a professor or high school teacher, you know, just tear through the university on a motorcycle.
James, I know you're like, well, it'd be a big thing for seeing your teacher on a big motorcycle having a big chase, but just imagine a teacher doing anything out of school.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my, can you imagine? Oh, this guy's at the movies.
I saw my teacher at the shop.
Was he buying, I don't know, regular shop stuff?
He was in a T-shirt. That happened to me a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Kids freak out when they see you in the real world. But the thing about this movie is,
go on,
as it goes on, the modern kind of effects of the day and style kind of takes over. There's that soft The Hobbit kind of glow.
James, it's 1 hour and 20 minutes is exactly when it happens. They end up in the jungle.
Yeah.
There's a chase. And
there's a big cutting machine, CGI cutting machine. The thing about that scene is also, it doesn't look bad all of the time.
Mm.
They really did have a stretch that they like ran back and forth through.
It was like the scene in The Matrix Reloaded.
Where it changes to CGI.
When it's,
in the big
it's Neo fighting all the Agent Smiths, and he's fighting about 20 Agent Smiths, and they're all real stuntmen. And then they're like, okay, bring in 50 more Agent Smiths. And obviously there wasn't enough room on the basketball court.
It wasn't enough. Hugo Weaving doesn't have that many brothers.
That's true.
So they had to cut it short.
He has cousins, but, you know, he's beefing with those cousins. So he's got a lot of cousins, man.
Yeah.
And so they just switched to all CGI, and it just... You can immediately
the
tell.
The monkeys and the swinging. And
Yeah. No. The monkeys. The point at which Shia LaBeouf is doing the splits between two different jeeps while sword fighting, and he keeps getting hit in the nuts with branches, and he's still doing it. What is... No, that's...
I mean, you do that for real?
Yeah.
That's the best stunt of all time.
Absolutely. You know? Jean-Claude Van Damme would do it, you know? To advertise a mineral water or something.
Or Mint Mobile or something.
Mint Mobile. But it's not real and it doesn't look real.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any weight to it.
Yeah.
And they continue that with that for a lot of it. There's even the scene at the end where they're all sort of like sitting around in the ruins and they're like, boy, that was a big adventure we had. And you'd be like, yeah, it was, but it's undercut by the fact that they're nowhere.
Yeah.
They're in a void and there's some brickwork and the rest is green.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Screen.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go to a real place for that?
A place?
Top of a convenience store? Boy, she had a lot of adventures here.
Boy.
I bought a t-shirt down there.
Isn't this where they film Clerks? Boy, what an adventure.
That's right.
The thing is as well, and this really surprised me, Spielberg didn't shoot this movie in digital.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the era where they were doing that. Like the previous two Star Wars movies had done it. And here's a quote from him that says, "It looks like we shot it 3 years after Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You'd never know there was 20 years between shooting." And that might be what the raw footage looks like with a bit of tweaks, but that's, you can tell.
Yeah.
You can really tell. I know you mentioned Mac and you're like, I like him or whatever.
Who's Mac?
Ray Winston.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's funny or interesting.
Mm.
And that, again, it's that layers upon layers of like, I'm a double cross student, I'm a double agent, I'm a triple agent.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. It's just like, I don't know.
I think they just, because they were like, part of the trope of Indiana Jones is somebody's going to betray him at some point. So they had to throw that guy in.
Okay,
I
great.
Think. But he's, again, just as a general companion you meet along the way, he's no Jonathan Rhys-Davies, as an example.
I think if they had kept them side by side.
Why don't he have a photo of Jonathan Rhys-Davies on his desk?
He probably did somewhere amongst
it's got
the
boom
papers.
It's got the boom mic in the frame. It's just like, whatever, take it from the making of, we don't care.
I also feel like where this falls down is that it's really light on the horror elements of the previous movies. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where a bunch of Russians get torched by a jet engine.
Yeah.
And it just feels like some guys just being engulfed in CGI flame and nothing.
Mm. Like the fire ants or the giant ant situation.
Exactly. Much better, I feel, than the CGI rats from the third movie, Mason.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Remember when I said that and a lot of people yelled at me that they weren't CGI? Mm. I just want people to know that's a thing I believe. You didn't miss a joke that I said. Not you, Mason. I'm telling everybody.
I miss tons of jokes.
Yeah. And you know, it ends with Kate Blanchett. It's a lot of power and I want all the power, but it's too much power, et cetera.
And her head should have popped.
Yeah.
Just bam.
Yeah.
Just spread it all over the aliens and they would have been like, ugh.
Yuck.
But again, like and when we get to the end, when it all forms up and there's literally a little gray man there.
Yeah.
Give me more ambivalent. Give me more ambiguity. You know what I mean? She sees something and we don't know what it is. I think that would have been better.
Okay, fair enough.
You know?
But there is some good practical stuff in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, those guys who live in a wall. I want to know, like, how does that day start? Like, you pack your little lunch and you go and crawl into a wall?
Yep.
Is that how how your day starts and ends?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
You clock in like those Warner Brothers cartoon dogs that hate each other or whatever, you know? Chunk.
But what I do want to talk about before we get into the glasses, Mason, is something that I feel like is in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
He's wearing the same or very similar outfit to what he has previously. Again, we've talked about the hat, how it does change moving a movie and whatever, and they go back to previous models sometimes.
Sometimes it's grey.
Yeah, sometimes it's grey, Mason.
Freaking hell.
Do you think in this era it is time to change up the outfit? Does it feel sad to you to see him wearing the same
You mean his adventure
getup?
Outfit? The slacks and the shirt and
like
the leather
Like the teaching
jacket?
Stuff I'm fine with and whatever. Yeah, right. But do you think in this era it's like maybe you want to, I don't know, get another shirt?
Tracksuit, for example? Sure. No, I think it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a man who knows.
Even some variation on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think, sometimes I feel that with a cap, like with a... I think also we've been spoiled by like MCU movies and superhero movies where every character gets a new look. Even several times a movie.
Yeah.
It does look like a guy who's only had one outfit for like 30 years. But
even Han Solo had a slightly different jacket, is what I'm saying.
I think this one is a slightly different jacket.
I mean, it is, but it's still like the, you know, it's the basic look.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm torn. Yeah. I think you're right. I think...
I don't even know what you would... What would that even look like changing?
Because the problem is if you never change the character's look, ultimately it starts to be a bit cartoony.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe it's the thing of like that, you know.
They've never really changed it, so why now?
Maybe like 1935 was the best year of his life, and why would he say
it almost certainly was.
why would he change? And that's when as a man, that's when your style, you know.
1935.
That's why we all dress like it's 1935 over here. You're absolutely right. What about a long black trench coat a la The Matrix? What about that?
Absolutely.
But look, I think, you know, it's got.
I mean, he still looks good in it again, and he moves well.
It's very practical. They probably, you know, what's he going to switch to jeans? They take forever to dry, James.
Yeah, they do.
He's always falling into a river. You know what I mean?
I like it.
The slacks, he's practical. It's got a lot of pockets.
Oh, that river bit. Oh, yeah. Mm. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
But we got to circle back around to his glasses.
Okay, now you're trying to determine.
Yeah.
What prescription Indiana Jones has, or whether in fact he has a prescription at all. Now, if I recall, the only time he's wearing glasses in this is the scene at the college where he's teaching. He's wearing little round glasses, but for the most part, he's looking over the top of them.
Yes.
So that would suggest to me that those ones are reading glasses. Because when he looks out into the student body,
he's peeking over them,
and when his friend opens the door to speak to him, he's looking over them.
Yeah,
and then when he goes to speak to Jim Broadbent, he takes them off entirely. So I think he's using them to look at the blackboard, but when he looks over the top of them, he can see the students perfectly well.
Okay,
that would be my guess.
I agree. Mm. I think from this investigation done...
Yeah, well, I've got my input here, but you're the one who has to make the final decision here.
Well, there's a little wrinkle on this that I want to talk about.
Okay.
I do think that they're just reading glasses.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe sometimes he'll just wear them because he's just got them on, you know. But here's the thing. It's interesting that his vision has not deteriorated.
Yeah.
And his health has basically stayed the same. And we know that's because he's Hollywood rich and famous.
That's true.
And that's why in real life that he's still able to do the things that he is in this movie. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Last Crusade novelization, there is... I think there's a link between the Grail and him being this level of fitness.
You think it has something to do with the fact that he chugged from the tumbler of Eternal Youth. Okay, the tumbler of youth.
Yeah.
Terrific. Okay. Yep.
So here's the thing. If you go into the novelization, it goes into more detail about how it works. And apparently what it is you
is
have
this
to,
an Alan Dean Foster joint?
No, it's a you really fucked me on this, Mason.
I gotta know Max Allen Collins?
Robert McGregor.
Okay, all
Rob right. McGregor.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So what you basically have to do, what the knight had to do, was drink every day. Mm-hmm. And if you drink from it every day, you retain your youth.
Okay.
But the longer that you drink from it, and if you pause drinking, then your age catches up to you the longer you leave it.
I see.
But you basically, yeah, that's why so the knight apparently had a few crises of faith. Uh-huh. And that's why he aged.
Right.
He basically took a couple of days off and then went, no, I love God, actually. And he kept drinking. But then...
Do you love God or do you love your perfect skin, mate?
Great question. Mm. Yeah. But here's the thing.
Do you love God or do you love not having any crow's feet?
But what it does do, if you even drink from it once.
When there was only one set of crow's feet, that's when I carried you. Sorry, continue.
It's all right. But what it does do, even if you drink from it once,
nice.
Any injuries or diseases that you have, it clears up and gives you an absolutely fresh bill of health.
So we can break Indiana Jones's life up from before.
Yeah.
But before the...
Last Crusade.
Before BC, before Crusade.
Yep.
And AD after drinking. After drinking from a big stone cup.
Exactly.
Okay, so potentially...
Essentially, he got a reset.
Yeah, so his prescription after that is not necessarily the same as the one before.
No, I would say it's very possible, and there's probably comics and novels that say the opposite of this, that fixed his eyes, and then the 19 years in between, his eyes basically went back to where they were slowly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it didn't youthify him. It basically just clean bill of health him.
And potentially, when he looked into the crystal skull, that gave him LASIK. So maybe his vision's perfect now, because he didn't use glasses after that at all, did he?
That's true.
Not even at the wedding. He wasn't wearing
them. Not even at the wedding.
Mm.
So yeah, anyways, it ends with like, it's too much power. Why did I absorb all this power, etc. And there's a moment where Mac just falls over, and I just was thinking to myself, hey, Mac, get up. Just get up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he's like, I think I'm all right. It's gonna stay here, I reckon.
Okay, so do you think he heard you?
No, he didn't get up. He flew into the vortex.
Oh yeah, maybe he got off after.
No, he went into the vortex.
Yeah, but when he landed in wherever the vortex takes you,
I think a stone probably killed him.
Oh yeah, that's actually probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, Mason, it's time for Indiana Jones and the trivia of the Crystal Trivia.
I love that.
The trivia segment of the show where we go, wow, new trivia.
Pretty good.
Not necessarily new. but it is trivia.
Mm.
So when Indiana Jones is referring to being kidnapped by Pancho Villa, he's referring to the Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, the episode Spring Break Adventure.
Whoa.
So those are all canon.
Interesting.
Except for the old Indiana Jones eye patch stuff, which George Lucas put in and everybody complained within the studio because they don't line up with the stories properly.
Oh, I see.
So they ended up taking those out.
But he's got perfect vision after the crystal skull laser thing.
That's right.
Why would he need an eye patch?
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's interesting that I guess I just assumed that was just a callback to an adventure that they had and we've never seen it or what have you. But it's good to know it's a very specific thing.
Absolutely.
And they learned some stuff.
They
probably
learned some stuff, yeah. Harrison Ford was apparently adamant that he got to wield Indiana Jones's famous whip. Paramount executives wanted the weapon to be computer generated because of new movie safety rules. But Ford branded this rule ridiculous. You'd never get away with making this movie now, though, I tell you that much, Mason.
That's right.
Not with today's culture. You'd never make Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That's right. You couldn't have a whip. You'd have to have...
an equality whip.
You'd have to have an equality whip. And you'd have to whip every single person equally.
That's good.
That's good, I think. Yes, it's good.
Yeah. So, as mentioned, Sean Connery turned down a cameo because he was enjoying retirement too much and Alex G fucked him up. But John Rhys-Davies was also approached to cameo at the wedding at the end, but thought it would cheapen the character, so decided not to.
Probably a good call, honestly.
So these were some of the titles that were considered for the movie. This one's from George Lucas. Indiana Jones and the Saucer Men. Steven Spielberg's was...
Oh, yeah, no, all right.
Yeah, it's fine, right? Yeah. Mm. Steven Spielberg's idea.
Oh, but it sounds a little bit like Indiana Jones and the Source of Men.
That's, yeah, fair enough.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. That's good too.
I guess, sure. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg's idea was Indiana Jones and the blank blank of the Mysterians. Fill it in. He was going to fill it in later.
I'll do it on the day.
Yeah. And screenwriter David Cope wanted Indiana Jones and the son of Indiana Jones. I don't think that's real.
No.
That sounds made up. Yeah. Speaking of son of Indiana Jones.
Oh, though. Indiana Jones. This is day one. Day one, they're breaking the script. Oh, Indiana Jones and the son of Indiana Jones. What did you say? Nothing. I don't have any ideas for that.
Speaking of son of Indiana Jones, Mason, this is what Shia LaBeouf said about this movie. He's this movie's biggest critic.
Oh.
Because I feel like with some distance, and we've seen this with other movie franchises before, a lot can be forgiven.
I think with a judicious edit, a lot of this could be fixed. If instead of fighting while doing the splits on the top of a couple of Jeeps.
He dies.
He just dies straight away.
Anyway, so he said, I feel like I dropped the ball on the legacy that people loved and cherished. You get the monkey swinging and things like that, and you can blame it on the writer and you can blame it on Steven, but the actor's job is to make it come alive and make it work, and I couldn't do it. So that's my fault. Simple. Now, as a result of this, apparently this destroyed his relationship with Spielberg. Because also Spielberg obviously had a hand in the Transformers movies
as well. Sure did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, very loosely.
Yeah.
Don't blame him for that. So, though he did pick Michael Bay.
Ah.
Yeah. Harrison Ford said this of Shia LaBeouf. I think LaBeouf was a fucking idiot. Uh-oh. As an actor, I think it's my obligation to support the film without making a complete ass of myself. Shia is ambitious, attentive, and talented, and he's learning how to deal with a situation which is very unique and difficult. And Steven Spielberg apparently gave Shia the following advice. Tom Cruise never picks his nose in public. And Shia LaBeouf said, and all I thought was, I don't want to be Tom Cruise. It was this gut reaction.
What a tangled web of people saying weird stuff. Incredible. But I would say, look, as much as a lot of people don't like Shia LaBeouf for a bunch of good reasons, I don't think he could have. I don't think any actor.
You can't fix.
Daniel Day-Lewis couldn't have saved swinging through the trees with monkeys. He couldn't have done it.
No, I agree. Mm. Yeah. Anyways, box office for this on a budget of $185 million, making this by far the biggest Indiana Jones budget.
Mm. Thus far,
yes. It made $790 million that year. It is the second highest grossing movie of the year internationally behind The Dark Knight.
I see.
All the other ones are number one. This is number two. That's not a bad outcome at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm. And here's the thing, Mason. People, they love these videos. They tell me.
Oh, yes.
And they say, can I see them early?
And you say no.
No, I say yes.
I've been telling them no.
No, you got to tell them yes. Oh. Okay, you tell them no, I'll tell them yes.
Okay, great.
We'll come at them like that.
Right.
But if you head over to bigsandwich.co, they always go up early. Lawrence, who edited this series, we very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Lawrence.
He gets them done. And Ben, who's coming back also, they get them done early. They go up there. And there's also bonus podcasts. There's movie commentaries. Mm-hmm. We do video game Let's Plays, and we're going to be playing some Indiana Jones stuff, if you want to check it out.
That's right.
Exclusively there. But who wants a hint towards next week?
Me?
I don't.
Well, you know, right?
Yeah, I do. It's Mission Impossible. We're coming back to those.
Oh, nice. What are we up to? Four? Up to four.
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right, cool.
I'll do a Google search.
Four a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
Anyways, thank you so much, everybody, for watching. Please give a big subscribe to your favorite YouTube channel.
And then us.
Yeah, that's right.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. I was going to make that joke.
Too late.
I was going to make it.
Too late.
Ah.
That's right. Should bloody drink from the bloody cup of the bloody Christ, the cup, the thing, and then you wouldn't be so stupid.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think it does that, but I would.
Well, you can hope.
I would try.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.